Welcome to the GuestX podcast, where my co-host Brian O'Malley and I uncover the latest technologies and human-driven initiatives that are raising customer expectations and forever changing how we define customer experience across a host of industries. If you are passionate about creating incredible content and unique experiences, join us as we talk to leading product and experience experts across the globe and learn about how today's most successful brands are setting themselves apart from the competition. Welcome to the GuestX podcast. I am your co-host, Matthew Loney, and proud to be here with my co-host, Brian O'Malley. How you doing, bud?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. How are things in Orlando? Are you your home?
It's heating up.
That does happen at the end of April.
I think temperature-wise, it's heating up. Business is heating up. Getting ready for some conferences here shortly.
Yeah, they're starting. The travel across the pond is looking strong this summer.
Yeah, I think so. I think we've got some exciting shows and conferences we'll announce here shortly.
Yeah.
Where you and I are going
to
be.
Yeah, so, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Well, I tell you what, today, excited, really excited. In our industry, I know we've had a lot of podcasts recently where we've grabbed some leaders outside of the industry, but we're going to come back to the industry this week with there's probably not a bigger name right now, certainly in the conference scene and the speaking scene, but also in the trade pubs as far as the moves that him and his team are making. And so why don't you give a little bit of intro? I don't think there'll be many of our listeners who don't know who he is.
I'll agree with you. I don't think most people in our industry have probably heard of Steve Milo. Steve is the founder and CEO of VTrips, now one of the largest property management companies with over 5,000 properties under management. He employs over 600 people nationally. Steve is considered as probably one of the biggest thought leaders when it comes to the evolution of alternative accommodations. So we're really excited to talk to you, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Okay. Well, thank you both.
Absolutely. Thrilled to have you.
So, Steve, for those of you or for those people that aren't super familiar with you, can you give us just a little bit of your background, where you got started with vacation rentals and, you know, what you guys are up to with VTrips?
Sure. Well, I mean, like some of the people that are listening to this, I started with one property basically as a rent by owner back in 2002, 2003. Started off with a little company called VRBO when they actually were little before they were purchased by Homeway Software in 2006 or seven. And the reason why I ended up as a rent by owner is property managers at that time in the area that I was at were not taking on new properties due to some of the fallout from the recession created by 9/11. So I had no choice but to manage my own property, build a little website, and that became Vacation Rental Pros.
Wow. That's very interesting. That goes way back. I think I started my vacation rental experience back in 2003 as well. We started as RBOs and owned, I was about, 18 at the time, a couple properties with my dad. And then we owned them, we operated them, found them extremely difficult to operate and get to market, especially in the Kissimmee area. There was nothing around us. So it's that was the beginning, and we sold the units, and I came back in 2008 to start building up the property management company. But, you know, I think what's interesting is that you took what you learned in 2003 and you really started to build upon that to reach where you guys are at now. I mean, 5,000 properties under management, that is just an incredible amount of properties and almost unfathomable for most property managers when it comes to the operation side. So I'd love for you to share with us the vision of your strategy with VTrips. Where are you going with this? Is this play a roll-up play where you're looking at profits really coming through efficiency? Are you trying to build a brand? What's your vision? What's your strategy here?
Well, a lot of questions to unpack, but I'd say, you know, the first thing is we've kind of evolved in phases. And that is because up until recently, we never took any outside investment. You know, Vacation Rental Pros, which then became VTrips, has been financed through profitability and then commercial debt. And so in the first, I'd say, 6 to 8 years, a lot of our growth was just regional. We were based out of Northeast Florida. And during the recession, we were opportunistic with M&A of companies that were, you know, having some financial issues during the recession of taking them on and rolling them into V-Trips. And then we also did really well with organic during that period because property managers were really struggling with their distribution. And it was a kind of a changing landscape. Since about 2016, we entered another phase, and that was primarily created by my concern with regulations and adverse governments trying to restrict vacation rentals. And, you know, we ended up having a pretty significant battle in Flagler County, Florida, which we ended up getting grandfathered in, but it really taught me a lesson of not putting too many eggs in one basket. And so I looked to diversify out of the state of Florida into other states that would give us diversity. And Gatlinburg, Tennessee was one of the first new markets we entered, but we also entered markets like New Mexico, Hawaii, et cetera. And so it was really a diversification. And then, you know, leveraging technology, which was hosted systems, and really applying what I call revenue synergies, which would gain us additional revenue. And then, you know, operational efficiencies that you gain through traditional M&A, which is, you know, you're going to centralize accounting, marketing, reservations, and technology.
And we should mention, for those of you who weren't able to be at Chicago, you know, Steve, you mentioned the governmental regulations. I know it's something that's been close to you. You led the efforts this year. I think V-Trips contributed 60,000 just by themselves, but I think we raised, what was it? Was it over 400,000, Steve, that you raised in Chicago for the governmental and the lobbying efforts on behalf of the entire short-term rental industry? What was the final number there?
Yeah, we raised 400,000 in 1 hour in VRMA. And just to give you some perspective, I mean, in 2014, we had trouble raising $25,000. You know, it's really been a situation where I was frustrated for a while by how little attention most of my peers in the vacation rental industry, the property managers, were paying attention to advocacy. And I kept hearing this over and over again, that it was, you know, concentrated to just a handful of markets and it would never hit the Outer Banks or never hit the Panhandle or never hit Colorado or all these different places where we had members who just weren't interested in advocacy. And obviously, you know, unfortunately, the sad truth is pretty much every city and state has some form of vacation rental restriction that property managers are fighting over with counties or cities.
Yeah, no, it really has been. I mean, we saw just recently the decisions that have been made up in Breckenridge. Some of the fines now, or some of the fees that some of these, I mean, for all practical purposes, they're eliminating, you know, they've raised them to a level that you just can't operate at all efficiently in some of these markets. And I do think that, you know, the education and the advocacy. And so, you know, on behalf of everyone who benefits from this industry, certainly appreciative of all of your efforts. And I know, look, it's not just you, but there's a whole team behind both V-Trips and the Advocacy Fund that are working on this. But, you know, back to Brian's question, I think, Steve, one of the things, when you think about consolidation in this industry, there have been groups that have done it in the past. There's groups that are currently doing it now. I would argue that at least stateside, though, a lot of the groups have come maybe before V-Trips have been a little bit of a cautionary tale. You know, I think the Vacasa story is still being told, but you can, you know, they're publicly traded now, so you can easily see their stock price and kind of understand the enterprise value and how the market's valuing them. And they've really struggled. And arguably in one of the best times for this industry coming out post-COVID. So why do you think that is? Is it the operational difficulties? Is it that VC mentality that, you know, just to pour a bunch of money into it that doesn't allow a little bit more of the measured approach maybe that V-Trips has taken? What do you contribute to that?
Well, it's another kind of complicated question, but I'll take a stab at it. So, you know, the traditional PE model was put a lot of money into a company that would grow revenue at all costs and worry about profitability in the future. And, you know, that model works in some industries, like maybe fintech. And I think there was a mistake that Airbnb was somehow, you know, a model of this, but Airbnb is an OTA. They're not on the lodging side. And at the end of the day, what VTrips is and what Vacasa is and any of the other companies that are trying to do roll up is we're hospitality companies. We're managing operations, we're managing cleaning, we're managing maintenance, we're managing guest services. And, you know, there is a cost to operations. And it's not just about throwing money and trying to grow as fast as possible. It's about the underpinnings of how are you managing laundry and how are you managing cleaning and how are you managing service and guest services. So fundamentally, you know, what PEs did is I think they rewarded bad behavior. So they rewarded behavior of companies that were vastly unprofitable, that never put the time or effort into their operations, and really had very poor business models, including taking properties all over the place where they had no nexus to manage them and just being indiscriminate about growth, as well as hiring people from outside the industry who, again, were not hospitality people, but were technology people. And so, you know, that's a recipe for disaster. And, you know, COVID kind of showed how bad that model was and how bad these PEs were, because you had Stay Alfred, you had Lyric go out of business. They ran out of money. Vacasa laid off 90% of their employees, and they would have been out of business except for they got an emergency down round from Silver Lake. Mm-hmm. And Turnkey, for all the talk they had, you know, Austin Venture basically decided to sell them to Vacasa because they clearly didn't have enough faith that Turnkey had a good enough model. So, you know, they knew the most about Turnkey, and, you know, they could have taken Turnkey and aggressive and competed with Vacasa, and they laid down their cards and took whatever chips they could and ran. So that just tells you that those businesses that were PE investment based, revenue based, you know, they built bad operating and bad business models of a lack of profitability. And, you know, Vacasa's stock has been well under their IPO price. The restrictions are coming up. A lot of the stock restrictions are coming off in June. And, you know, right now it's not looking good for Vacasa.
Right. And I should say, I heard you speak in Chicago, and one of the things you did mention, I think, was, you know, don't buy companies that aren't profitable. And I think it does go to your point of, you know, you're really valuing these on an EBITDA multiple, if you will. I mean, there's, if you know, as some of our listeners know, there's multiple ways software companies often, it'll either be on their top line or at least their ARR, that reoccurring revenue. But for operating companies, that EBITDA number, and I think that's a drum that you've been beating. And Brian, you know, you've sold a company, I think your first company you'd built up to, did you guys get 60, 70 units? Is that probably?
About
75 units. I mean, you know, to Steve's point, there are some real operational differences as a hospitality brand when, you know, that you've got, especially in leisure markets, people are coming back to these markets consistently. This isn't a hotel in New York that's servicing business travelers or was. I mean, what is your thought of the consolidation now that you're seeing, now that you're kind of getting back into it? And kind of this, you know, what we're seeing happening with Vacasa now struggling since the IPO.
I mean, I think it's an interesting approach, and Steve's made some really interesting observations, which is partially why I came back into the industry and tried to understand where property managers are. And it comes down to operations. I think a lot of these, you know, PEs that have occurred have been just in numbers. People haven't really paid much attention to the industry in itself, other than unit count. And so I think one of the questions I have, Steve, is as you start to do these acquisitions, then are you looking at the operators and their operations and then making a decision on that acquisition? Because that's a really hard, you know, it would be very difficult for me to go in and purchase some of these companies and then rely on them to represent my brand well. How do you assess the companies that you're acquiring? What are some of the requirements there?
Well, there's really two things we're looking at. One, if it's a brand new market, we're looking for a market leader that has a strong brand within that market. So we just purchased a company called Southern Vacation Rentals, about 1,100 properties along from 30A to Orange Beach, Alabama. And they have a really, really strong reputation, strong leadership team. We're keeping that Southern Vacation brand in place. Now, we're also talking to some other smaller companies. And if we buy them, those will be tuck-ins. We will roll them into Southern. So they'll, become part of the Southern brand. You know, we just bought a company in Texas, in Galveston, called Ryson. We've already tucked in a small group in there. And, Gallenberg is a great example where we originally bought Jackson Mountain Home in 2015. And we've rolled like four or five different companies into Jackson Mountain Homes. So much of this is, you find one strong regional player, and then, the goal is to kind of roll up the smaller companies that probably it's really tough for them to even make money because they're so small.
Yeah. And
we've had this discussion right before, Matt, because, it is the key is your people, your operations. And if you can find a key player in a local market and you can start to roll up some of the smaller companies with good inventory, then the execution is really dependent on that one operator and then building a team around that operator. It also brings up a really interesting, topic, which is, so you're maintaining the brand, the local brand. How do you execute multiple brands under VTrips? Southern is obviously a very well-recognized brand. I know them well. I think I've worked with them in the past. But, you're trying to build this massive brand, which is VTrips, and then you've got sub-brands under that. That becomes an extremely difficult exercise in itself, doesn't it?
Well, I think one of the companies we'd like to be comped against is Marriott, and they've done the same thing. Under the Marriott umbrella, there's 27 or more sub-brands. I think they've done a good job of creating an umbrella brand, which is Marriott, but painting those sub-brands, which each means something. So I think it can be done in the vacation rental industry with kind of an umbrella brand and then sub-brands underneath it.
It's interesting you say that, Steve, because so, when we think about the future of VTrips, then I think should we be thinking of things like a loyalty program, right? Which I think you can certainly see the merits of when you look across hospitality. The Bonvoy program is probably one of the best known. It's got a lot of value. I was talking to somebody the other day. I can't remember what the number was. I think it was higher than 70% of hotels now on a daily basis are rented by Bonvoy members. So, outside of maybe Delta and theirs in travel, there's probably not a better loyalty program. Is that kind of how, because even though they are Marriott flags and they have different feels, Marriott, though, clearly is putting a lot of weight behind getting people to understand that this may be XYZ flag, but it's under that Marriott brand. It's tied to that Bonvoy. Is that maybe how you do that, Steve, is kind of with a loyalty program so that people tie Ryson to Southern, to Deep, you create, and your properties in Hawaii and see them all still as VTrips, though?
Well, there's different things we're going to do. But right now, I think the focal point is that the lowest price is always going to be available at our VTrips or our local level. And it's just getting that message out. We still haven't done a good enough job to guess that the lowest price will always be on our website. And that's partly because Vrbo and Airbnb are charging a guest service fee of more of the rental. And that's just right off the top. And it's also because we're charging those OTAs a higher rate because we want to make it so the guest comes to our website direct. Down the road, we've talked about some loyalty programs. I think all things being equal, which is cost and maintenance, I think Booking.com probably has the best idea with their Genius program, which is basically based on your history, you get money right off the top on your future bookings. And Booking.com doesn't get the press that Airbnb is, but more people have downloaded the Booking.com app than any other travel app right now.
It is very interesting. So All right, let's look forward 2 to 3 years from now, Steve. Where do you see VTrips? Where do you see our industry headed? What kind of changes do you think we're going to see from a technology perspective? And what would you like us to see as an industry coming together more like? I know that there's been quite a bit of movement on, you know, the PE side, acquisitions, technology has improved quite a bit. But what are some of your predictions? Where would you like to see the industry in the next 2 to 3 years?
Well, I think we're going to see more consolidators come in from the outside. And I think it's going to be a mixed bag of success for those firms that come in, because in general, they haven't built, you know, basically a centralized corporation. Even Village Holding, Village Realty is basically a group of affiliated companies. And that is not a, you know, that's just not a type of organization that you could take to the next level. You know, Sykes is much more similar to Picasso or VTrips, which is out of the UK, where, you know, they've invested in a corporate overhead that would allow them to scale outside of the UK if they really truly want to, which they may. But, you know, I think on the supplier side, the technology side, we're probably going to see consolidation there as PE companies look to do what GSV/Inhabit IQ have done, but maybe in a more thoughtful manner. You know, TNS is yet to get an investment. I would expect somebody's going to figure out a way to do business with Track TNS. And I think there's some other companies out there that are best of breed, Breezeway, BeHome247, that fit in an ecosystem with a strong PMS. You know, the one thing that I hope as an industry we continue on is unifying everybody under the umbrella of advocacy. We're forming a chapter in Texas and we're hiring a lobbyist and we're doing a fundraising event in May. And, you know, we hope that, you know, we can get property managers to come and start to unite and support things like preemption at the state level that will solve some of these issues and make it so that from a business standpoint, vacation rentals aren't zoned out, particularly in, you know, areas that tend to be liberal or progressive and are not as property right centric.
And Steve, you bring up, it's an interesting, for those of our listeners who maybe don't spend as much time, you know, following what's going on in Europe and stuff, but you bring up Sykes and it's interesting, you know, Graham and those guys have done, I would say there's two things that they're really focused on and I think you're doing an incredible job. I think one is the data piece, which is obviously a real value as you continue to consolidate, understanding the movement of guests, the booking windows better, how to attract them. But you mentioned the second being, you know, they're very heavily right now doubling down on the experience. I just saw a recent Sykes commercial that they're running over in the UK. Really never even mentions vacation rentals. It's all about getting out and spending time with your family and reconnecting after COVID and those type of things. It feels a little bit in contrast to the kind of lowest price wins type push that we sometimes hear in this industry. I mean, where does the guest experience fit with the price? Are the two combined just for the overall value calculation by the consumer? Or do you think it's closely tied to the type of inventory and product that you have? But how do those two play off each other?
Well, I definitely think they play in terms of repeat customer. So maybe not initial. I do think price still plays a predominant impact of the initial booking process, along with reviews. So if we're just looking at the funnel, you know, that's certainly the two things that, you know, tend to get the highest conversion, you know, pricing and reviews. But I think as the industry matures, you know, the user experience becomes important. So some of the things that even you and I have talked about, which is, you know, amenities, right? And concierge service.
Right.
How can vacation rental managers provide true concierge service to the guests before they arrive in a way that's a win-win for everyone, right? So you provide the guest information about the area, dolphin tours, whale tours, fishing boat tours, golfing excursions, you know, different parks or theme parks that may have a discounted rate for pre-booking, you know, historic tours or walking tours or whatever. I mean, gastronomic tours are a big thing in certain areas.
Yep.
How can you do that where the guest is provided that, all the type of things that you do if you went to a hotel and they had a concierge and you went to the concierge and said, hey, you know, we're here for 3 days. We want to go to a really cool restaurant. We want to, you know, go on a boat trip. But how can we do this in a way where the guest for a vacation rental, where it's not practical to have a concierge, but we have a virtual concierge? How can we do that? And how can we enrich the guest experience? Right. And so that's the type of thing that I think also can distinguish your brand from others, where you're providing those amenities and, you know, your company has certain amenities which give people access to, you know, theme parks or events at a highly discounted rate, which they may normally not even have considered. So that's just like one example. You know, standardized linens and laundry is another, right? So, you know, we've been building laundry facilities and we're the only customer and we spend a lot of time to standardize the laundry. And I think it's really important because the guest has an expectation then that every place they rent from B-Trips, they're going to have the same, you know, Marriott standard, you know, linens in there. And in terms of supplies, we also bundle the supplies at the laundry facilities and we make it so it's very, very easy for the housekeeper to go out and, you know, clean the house and then bring back the dirty linens. And, you know, the other thing that I think is very important is creating purpose-built inventory. You know, new inventory that's being designed right now, having a hand in that and building it in a way where it's optimized as a vacation rental, not a retrofitted second home. You know, these are the type of things that I think are really going to move the needle on the guest experience in a way that catapults us even further over hotel rooms.
I think you bring up some of the my top topics, things that we love to talk about. But what's interesting about it is that it's coming from you. So to me, and it is because with a brand like V-Trips, right, you've got access to so many homes, so many good operators. One of the challenges that I've seen, you know, previously with the old management company, and part of the reason that I came back into it was really to start to understand how vacation rentals have changed over the course of the last few years since 2016 to now. And it's the standardization of things like your linens. You know, I when I started the company again, and we started with the three units, one of my key components was making sure that we're not doing laundry anymore in our facilities because it doesn't come out right. The guests walk in when they see clean linens and the right setup and it looks hotelified, all of a sudden that guest experience increases. So that was an element to me that was absolutely core. The other thing is, what's interesting is the guest experience side, the purchases. How do you start to standardize some of the messaging and some of the availability to the purchases for the guests and when to present it, when to message the guests about certain amenities in the area, knowing how to do that. And one of the challenges that I know our industry has is, as a small property manager, we're not trained. I mean, we call ourselves professionals, and I say this all the time, the educational piece is lacking, but we don't go to school to learn every facet of this business. So to me, what's fascinating about what you're doing is that you can literally build an organization from the top and have all of these resources available to the property managers that you're purchasing. So if they own 5 units or 400 units, you have available teams that can teach these people or even implement these systems without them having to learn it and having that support. So I think that watching what you guys are doing and watching this space in the next 2 to 3 years and taking that approach is going to help professionalize our industry and take it to the next level. Purpose-built inventory. I think we've seen a couple plays that are coming in where people are raising money to build their own units. I think that's going to be the next really big thing in our industry. It's the only way to do this is to control your inventory to then be able to control the guest experience.
It is interesting because, you know, when you look at the churn of people who maybe during COVID came for the first time to vacation rentals and now have gone back, the early indications is really the only place that it I think we lose people is around the amenities. Right? I want to stay, you know, I've got a gym here. I've got, you know, whatever those things are. Some of them are on site. Some of them are services, to Steve's point. But also to Steve's point, those things are available. We just, you know, the technology in some of those industries needs to continue to improve, and our own technology needs to continue to improve. So, Steve, know you're really busy, and to get 30 minutes here today, really, really helpful. I think just really interesting to hear how you think about the industry, and again, really appreciative of everything you're doing just to advocate for the industry, because there's certainly a lot of families, mine included, Brian's, but all over the country that rely upon now this industry and what it's doing, and we have to protect it. And it is coming under fire in a lot of our markets. But thank you for spending the time with us today. That's it for this week's episode of GuestX. Be sure to sign up for our email list at guestxpodcast.com. That's guestxpodcast.com. And follow us on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss our next episode. We are Mr. Guest Experience Brian Hamowy and Matthew Loney signing off and reminding you to always create a customer experience worth talking about.
This podcast is a Hospitality.fm production.